The fact that you can't go with me now does not mean that you will not go with me, but you can't now. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. You are loved by me. You are loved by the one who is able to deliver you, the one who will deliver you by his blood and by his body. And I am preparing a place for you to come and be with me and to be together. What I see in this dwelling together is that Jesus is promising them, he is taking care of them, he is preparing them to go with him and to be what he, to see what he wants them to see, to become spiritual people, not to live by reasoning, not to live by. If you're confused about something with the Lord, let not your heart be troubled. We can depend upon him. He will feed us. He will care for us. He will take us to where he wants us to go. He will lead us into being able to say, you have the words of eternal life. Peter knew that. That was not something that he came up with on his own. It was not something that he came up with because of the law. He knew that Jesus was the Christ. And we see him, we hear him, we taste him, we smell him by the Holy Spirit, dwelling with us, guiding us, reaching out to us when we gather together for prayer, when we gather together as family, blood family, sometimes as church family. He is opening up to us. He is speaking to us. He wants us to know by the Spirit what he is doing and who he is and how he will lead us and guide us. What does he do? Well, he tells us in chapter 10, go back a little ways, in John. He's talking about the shepherd. He is the shepherd and the shepherd of the sheep. In verse 3, he says, to him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. We are the sheep. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. That is dwelling. They are dwelling. They are abiding. He's talking about the sheep abiding with him. We are the sheep. We are abiding in him. The doorkeeper opens. The Lord Jesus is the door. He who does not, in verse 1, he who does not enter by the door unto the fold of the sheep, a thief and a robber will come in not by the door. The abiding that that he is talking about, he wants us to be part of him. He wants to be part of us. And what he says is, my sheep, where are we here? When he puts forth his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. How do we know his voice? Because we've heard it over and over, daily, time and time again. Where do we abide? Abiding is not something that's once and done. Abiding is done for a long time. They are abiding. They were abiding with him. He wanted them to know him, to hear his voice. He put them in places where they could see him. When they were together and the world wasn't in the way, and he wasn't doing other things. He was speaking to them. They were hearing him. They knew what they were being taught by the Holy Spirit. They were being changed by the Holy Spirit. They will not follow, it says. A stranger, verse 5, a stranger they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used this. This is not being spoken as the absolute historical. We know that we are not, I don't smell like a bunch of sheep. We don't look like a bunch of sheep. But we are sheep in this picture. And we act much like sheep. But he wants us to know him. He wants us to trust him, to realize that when we follow him, we will be led to the place of feeding and watering, and he will protect us from the enemy. And it says in verse 10, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus does not want us simply to say, okay, that's fine, we'll walk along with you. I mean, that's what tickle our ears. That's what the other followers that went away when he was speaking about eating his body and drinking his blood, they couldn't deal with it. They couldn't understand it. It didn't fit into the way they thought about things. Our abiding with him is not about what we think and what we understand. It's about seeing him, hearing him, knowing him, realizing that by the Spirit he is there. He is talking to us. He is communicating with us. The Holy Spirit within us today is opening our eyes. I know you know from being here this feeling, the sense, the knowledge that that's something the Spirit's doing. How many times have we said, well, Aubrey said it earlier, you know, the Spirit, somebody said something, and then there was this passage of Scripture that was read. That's the Holy Spirit touching us. We hear him. We know he's there. We rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. I think we all rejoice in that. When we suddenly realize we've been confused, wondering about what to do, what would the Lord have us do, and suddenly he reveals it by his Spirit. How are we changed? How does the Spirit do this? Well, I can't explain that. But I will say that there's a scripture that tells us how it seems to happen. And that is 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. What the Lord is saying is, let me go to the verse itself here. All right. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us. We are living by the Spirit. The world doesn't know us because it did not know him. Verse 2, beloved, we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. That, I believe, is the key. That is what happens when we are abiding with him. We see him, we will see him, and we will be made like him by the Spirit, not by our own, not because, oh yeah, sure, that makes sense. This thing comes over here and that goes over there and everything's in place. And oh, what do you mean you want me to eat your body and drink your blood? Let the Spirit speak to you. Let the Spirit lead you. And it goes on, it said, all right, beloved, we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We will be made like him because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, that last verse 3, that is a spiritual, the Holy Spirit at work purifies us. We aren't purifying ourselves. He's not telling us, you got to purify yourself, because we already know that doesn't work. We can't do it. Can't be done. It's done by the Spirit. Because we are dwelling with him, because we are close to him, because we walk with him, because we can ask him anything. He wants us to know. He wants us to receive. He wants us to be touched by his life and to be changed. Several weeks ago, in the teaching on Wednesday, our brother Ed was leading the lesson, and he opened, and this struck me, with Proverbs chapter 2. And I believe that what I'm seeing here is the expression of God in how the Spirit comes to us, how the Spirit speaks to us, how the Spirit opens us up and opens up the Lord Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you. When we dwell with him, he wants us to know. He wants us to receive from him. He wants us to trust and believe and to treasure what he says to us. Verse 2, make your ear attentive. Again, when we're abiding, are we listening? When we come together, do you listen? Do you expect to hear from the Lord Jesus? You know, even if you don't, he will still speak. And he will touch you and he will change you. He will incline your heart to understanding. Still in verse 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. What he's saying in this, I believe, in this receiving and in inclining your heart to wisdom is over in, said again in a slightly different way that may be helpful. Chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Verse 1 of chapter 2, receive my sayings. Hear the instruction of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding. When we are dwelling, abiding, gathered together in his name, whether we're alone, spending time in the scripture, spending time in prayer, speaking, giving testimony to those around us, those who believe and those who don't believe. He wants us to give attention, to incline our hearts to understanding, that he might fill us, that he might give us understanding. For if you cry for discernment, this is verse 3 of chapter 2. Sorry, I'm chasing you all around the place here. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. Ask him. Don't be, it's okay to be like Peter. You know, Lord, I would die for you. Yeah, probably not. Peter was far beyond, went far beyond whatever I have had to face. Lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her, understanding, as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern and the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern, verse 9, then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. We can't do this. He is doing this. He wants to do this. He's asking us to believe, to trust him, to receive from him, to reach out and say, Lord, feed me. Lord, help me to understand. Lord, help me to hear. What is it you mean? What am I doing? What is someone else doing? I have brothers and sisters. Some are saying this. Some are saying that. Let's trust the Lord. Help us to see him and to know him and to ask him. We can ask. He gives generously. Just about done. Again, in this dwelling, in the matter of dwelling, in chapter 6 of John, I spoke about, included this in my earlier teaching about abiding and dwelling. In verse 28, the Lord, this is after the feeding of the 5,000, people followed him, tried to figure out what was going on. They wanted to be fed. He tells them, you know, you're not going to be fed. You're trying to do this on your own. Do not work, verse 27 of chapter 6, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. That's his body. That's his flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He gives us eternal life, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. And they, this is the gathering around him, they said therefore to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? They wanted to know how to be sure they had it. They wanted to be able to work it out. They wanted to be able to work this thing. They wanted to be like us. You know, we want to understand. We want to know. We want to, wait a minute, I want to question that. It's okay to question, but listen. Don't continue to speak. Don't share your ignorance. It's okay speaking to the Lord because he knows your ignorance. The Holy Spirit, he's within us. He knows all there is about us. He has to pray for us. We're so pitiful. Well, it's not pitiful. It's what the Lord has, and he wants us to know. He wants us to hear his voice and to trust him. In verse 28, they've asked him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus says in verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Now that seems just too easy. Doesn't make sense. It's just too easy. Well, no, it isn't. We share the table every Sunday. We want to be in remembrance of him. We want to know him. We want him to share with us, to speak through one another, to open our ears, open our minds, that he may give us words that will transform us and that we will embrace. We want to believe that he is the Christ. He entered into the Holy of Holies with his own blood to pay for our sin, that our sin is gone. It's not just covered up. It's not like a debt of money that someone accounted for, and it was written down and it was whatever signed, and somebody came along and said, "Okay, I'll pay for that for him." It's more than that. It's gone. It's as if it never happened. That's how clean we are. That we are standing on a rock, and that rock is Christ. We are drinking water from that rock, just as the children of Israel, they literally did. We are drinking from the rock of Christ, his blood, his life. Okay. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Lord, we do ask you to help us. Help us not to be confused. Help us to, in our confusion, come to you and say, ask for help. Lord, feed us, fill us, guide us. Help us to not turn away when you bring, by your Spirit, fellowship or troubles, whatever comes that you want us to have. Whatever we need, that we might know you and be transformed to be spiritual people, to trust you in all things. Lord, we thank you that you love us and care for us, and I pray, Lord, that I have not added confusion in any way, but Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us and that you would help us. In your name we pray. Amen.